Let's get started. Good, well, I'm not going to say good morning, I'm not going to say good afternoon, because it is noon. So good noon, everyone. Thank you for coming. We are here today to talk about Kerberos, SharePoint, and our BI stack. Okay. My name is Chuck Heinzelman. I am a program manager with the BPDCX team. Okay, that's a bunch of letters. What does it really mean? BPD is our business platform division, the group that builds SQL Server and some other products. CX is our customer experience team. How many people here have heard of the SQL CAT organization? A couple hands. SQL CAT is the customer advisory team. It's the group within the SQL Server product group that goes out and deals with some of the biggest and most complicated SQL Server installations in the world. That group is part of CX, and I do some work with them, but most of my time is spent working with technical communities around business intelligence. So going to conferences, talking to people like yourselves, that's what I do. If you want to get in touch with me, my email is chuck.heinzelman@microsoft.com. I am not on Twitter all that much, but I occasionally go out there. So what we're here to talk about today, we're here to talk about Kerberos in a very specific context. We are not here to talk about Kerberos in general. We are not going to go into the theories behind Kerberos. We are not going to deep dive into Kerberos. We are going to talk about how to use Kerberos to get your BI in SharePoint environment working properly. Again, we are not doing a SharePoint deep dive either. If you ask questions about that kind of thing, I will most likely refer you to the people in the Technical Learning Center. If you have those questions, we have people there that can answer them. For the purpose of this session, and when I train speakers, I normally call this the invitation to leave speech. That if this is not what you are expecting to see, I don't want to waste your time. Your time is what's important here. So if this is not what you're expecting, another session in the same slot might be useful. But since no one left for the door yet, this is a topic that I've talked about, I've done myself. Kerberos. Okay, let me ask a few questions to start with. How many of you are running SharePoint right now? Almost the whole room. How many of you are running our BI tools inside of SharePoint, specifically reporting services? How's that going for you? Good experience? Bad experience? Before I joined Microsoft, I built out a self-service BI environment for the company I worked for, and that's where I learned a lot of this stuff that we're going to talk about. I like to say that Kerberos is not hard to get right, but it's easy to get wrong. Fair statement? And one step further, when you get it wrong, it's hard to figure out what you did wrong and make it right. So what we're here to talk about today is how to get it right from the start. This session, a lot of this information comes right out of the Microsoft CSS, the customer support organization. They built out a lot of stuff around this topic. It really isn't that bad. So, 7 easy steps. Is it really possible to do Kerberos in 7 steps? And have it solve those 7 steps meet 95% of your business needs for Kerberos? I'm going to show it to you. Next slide. Any questions? Actually, I do have a Visio diagram that the customer support team has built that I'm currently working through the process of getting approval to publish to the TechEd website with the slide deck. It's a giant flow chart that if I would put it up on this screen, you would not be able to read it, even if you were standing right in front of the screen. But if you follow the steps in that flow chart, which are roughly the steps we are going to talk about here today, you will, in, they claim, about 90% of your situations be successful. Yes, there will be edge cases where you have a different configuration than they've run into before. But these are the steps that our support people go through when someone calls in with an issue related to this topic. Okay, we're going to start off. This is a 300-level session, and we will get into the deep stuff. But we are starting off with a little bit of terminology. So Kerberos. What is Kerberos? Some people have cursed Kerberos. I heard that this morning when I was talking to someone on the show floor. It's nothing more than a protocol. It's a protocol that was developed at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology for securing systems. A lot of different companies implement Kerberos. But it's a protocol. It's a definition. Delegation. Now, delegation is one of the very important aspects of Kerberos. How do I define delegation in a way that, the way I boil these things down is, how can I define this in a way that my wife will understand? My wife is not technical. She resisted getting a smartphone until I got one for free when I bought mine. So she's very non-technical. So I always try to make, you know, put things into a way that, you know, how would I describe what I do to my wife? Okay? So for delegation, the way I described it to her was, I am giving you the authority to act on my behalf and do anything that I can do. Quite simple. I call home, say, I'm going to be late for work. I give you the authority, my lovely wife, to make any decision about what we are having to eat tonight. And I will just accept whatever it is that you decide to do. That, in essence, is delegation. You're granting your authority to someone else to do anything that you are allowed to do. Which differs slightly from impersonation. Impersonation, I'm giving you the authority to, you are looking like me. You are not doing everything that I can do, but you can pretend to be me. You can't actually be me, which is what delegation is, but you can pretend to be me. There are certain limitations, and we will get into that. Now, these last two go together, authentication and authorization. The way I like to describe this is with an airport analogy. Authentication. This is proving that I am who I say I am. I have in my hands my passport. I can walk up to the airport, hand them this at the security gates, and they will accept this as proof that I am who I say I am, as long as it really is my passport. Okay? Authorization is my boarding pass for the plane. The boarding pass is what tells them I have the authority to go down that concourse and get on a specific plane. So I have to authenticate, with my passport, I have to authorize with my boarding pass. Let's put that back into the IT world. I authenticate with a username and password. I'm authorized by the access control list that I am a member of. Quite simple. This is the basis of security in our world. So why do we want to use Kerberos? What does Kerberos help us with? How many people are familiar with the double hop issue? How many people in this room think they could explain the double hop issue to my wife? I had to do this the other night when I was preparing for this. So the way I describe the double hop issue to my wife is I have one machine here, okay? This one machine, I'm logged into it. I can do what I need to do. I can impersonate over to one other machine. Think of a website. You log into a website as yourself with your Windows credentials, a live ID, whatever it might be. Most websites will run as a generic user. And if you're following security best practices, you are not giving that user full rights on your back-end database. Because anyone that hacks that website now has access to your entire data store. So what the website is most likely doing is impersonating you back to that back-end database. So they are looking like you to that database to get the information that you have the rights to see. Fair enough. That's a single hop. Server to database. Now, what if that database needs to connect to another source to get more information? This is the double hop. If you are impersonating, remember, delegation is you can do everything I can do. Impersonation is you look like me. Impersonation, once I've impersonated to a machine, that's the end of the line. That machine cannot impersonate me to another machine. It just can't do it. It is not allowed. That's why we need delegation. If there's another hop down the line, the web server would then delegate to the database server, and the database server could then impersonate to the next machine or delegate even further. Either way, that is how Kerberos solves the double hop issue. It allows us to delegate down the line. We don't have to impersonation. Just think of impersonation as the end of the line for authority. If you impersonate to a machine, that machine cannot take your identity and go any further with it. Some of the applications in the SharePoint and BI stack that are leveraging Kerberos: Performance Point, Excel Services, Analysis Services, and what we're going to talk about here is Reporting Services. The concept is the same no matter what it is. I just chose to use a reporting services example for this talk. There is a slight change with SQL Server 2012, and we will get to that. We'll talk about that during the session. So, there's a couple things I forgot to mention at the beginning of the talk. If you have a question, feel free to ask it at any time. I'm the kind of speaker that would prefer to get the questions in the context of the subject that we're talking about. I might defer you to later in the presentation if I'm going to be talking about it later. I might say, wait a second, I'll address that later. But feel free to ask the questions as we go along. Now, I am also a very atypical Microsoft employee. I don't like PowerPoint. I do not put, you know, content on the slide that you have to sit and read. So I'm going to give you a choice now. As an audience, you have a choice. We could either walk through this slide deck and talk about these concepts and these seven steps, or I can go onto my laptop into a bunch of VMs and we can replicate a real-world scenario and then come back and just walk through the slide deck and talk about what we and relate it back to the demo. Who wants to see the slides? I think we're going into demo world. Okay. The demo requires a little bit of a story. And it just so happens that they scheduled this session right before lunch, and the story involves going to lunch. You are a report developer for the company that you work for. Actually, you are the administrator of all, you are the director of all reporting at the company that you work for. Okay? Very powerful role, very influential person in your company. You have convinced your management that you want to implement reporting services in SharePoint. You convince them of the value of SharePoint and the value of having reporting services integrated into SharePoint. They said, great, sounds good, here's the budget, make it happen. So you worked with your IT department, you procured the servers, you convinced them, you told them how the servers needed to be configured. One key element that you did tell them is that user authentication needs to be passed all the way back to the database server. The user that logs into SharePoint must authenticate to the database. There are no stored credentials in this world. You made that abundantly clear. In writing, even, that was signed by the IT department. So, it's 11 a.m. You get a call from your IT department saying that reporting environment that you wanted us to build, it's ready for you. You can use it. You can start using it right now. You say thank you and hang up the phone. Now, earlier that morning, you had printed a report for your boss that your boss is going to use in a meeting at noon. You start thinking, wouldn't it be great? And this meeting is with the executives that approved your SharePoint infrastructure. Wouldn't it be great if your boss, rather than having that printed piece of paper to hand around the table, could walk into that room, open up the report in the SharePoint portal that they approved, and show them their investment working? Your boss will come out of that meeting, give you a raise, tell you to go on holiday for a week, all expenses paid. It would be great. So that's what you decide to do. And that's where our demo begins. So now you have the backstory. You know the whole situation. That's where our demo begins. So you've been given this environment. So the first thing you want to do is, of course, test it. We're all good IT professionals. We all test every single thing that we ever deploy, right? Right? Okay. We'll get into that as we go through here. So what I have open on the screen here is Report Builder 3.0. Now, this SharePoint environment is SharePoint 2010 with reporting services 2012. Which, by the way, how many people in this room know that SQL Server 2012 has shipped? Okay, I've been getting questions on the floor. Yes, our product is live. It's not like Windows Server. We have shipped. So I've been getting questions about that in the booth, so I just wanted to make sure. It's a multi-server environment. We have our database server running on its own piece of hardware. We have one SharePoint server. So this is very typical of what you might see in someone just getting started in SharePoint. You have one farm server that has all of your SharePoint services running on it, including the web front end. You're going to implement it. You're going to start rolling out. You're going to analyze your performance and see where you need to scale out. Do I need more web front ends? Do I need a different app tier for this particular service? Very typical starting point for using SharePoint. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to create a blank report to start with. And we'll just say hello, TechEd Europe. And we'll save this. Oh, very nice. Goes right to my report library. I'm just going to call that Hello TechEd. And we'll save that. Now, just to make sure, we're going to come into, once it saves, and it will save, I believe. It saved last night when I ran through the demo. There it is. Okay. If I come into, they even gave me a report library to save it into. So here's my report. I'm going to run it. There we go. Hello, TechEd Europe. The reporting integration is up and running. It's working. Great. So now I'm going to come back into Report Builder, and I'm going to create another new report. And this is going to be the report for my boss. So for boss. And now I notice something down here. I'm connected to the report server. Report Builder can be run in two modes, either connected and disconnected. And there is a very important difference between the two that will become evident as we talk through this. I'm going to disconnect from my server. So this disconnects me from SharePoint. Not any data connections. That was a connection to SharePoint. Okay? So I'm going to create a new data source. And this one is going to be a connection string. The server name is BIDB1. I'll select my database. Oh, quick question. Is there anyone in the room that can see a test connection button without feeling compelled to click on it? I can't. I have to click it, even if I know the developer and I know the button does nothing. So, test the connection. Great. It succeeded. All right. Oh, there's another one. Test the connection. Succeeded. Okay. We have our data source. We're connected. We're able to get to our database. Things are good. Let's create a new data set. I am going to follow the traditions of cooking shows on television. I have the query pre-written. I will refresh my fields. Everything worked. Guess not. I needed a test connection button, didn't I? I will select my data source, then refresh my fields. Very simple report. I'm just going to insert a table through the wizard, grab some stuff, throw it into the values field. My boss isn't very picky about their reports. They just want the data. That's all they care about. So I'm going to run this. Runs, brings it up in preview mode, goes back. Great. It works. I'm getting more and more excited here, because I'm going to impress my boss, and I'm going to get that raise, and I'm going to get that free holiday. So I come back in, and I'm going to save the report but I remember something. If I look back here, they gave me a connection stored in SharePoint. I'm going to use that. So I come into my data source, and I say, use a shared connection, SQL creds, and here's my fatal flaw. For some reason, I'm in such a hurry to get to lunch, I forget my compulsion to click the test connection button. We're going to see a problem soon. If this were a movie, the eerie, scary music would start swelling in the background. But now you'll notice at the bottom, I'm connected to that SharePoint server again. Because I selected a report element from SharePoint, so it reconnected me. Well, I'm just going to save this. Everything will be fine. I trust my IT department. For boss. Is it there? It's there. I call my boss. That report that you want, so we started this about 12 minutes ago. That report that you wanted, boss, it's there. Go into the meeting with the executives and run it. I walk down the hall, start talking to my coworkers, start bragging about this new site that I just stood up. My phone rings. It's the boss. That report you just told me about, Heinzelman, doesn't work. Now, don't you love it when we get just, it doesn't work? What do you mean, it doesn't work? Well, it doesn't work. So you go back to your desk and you run the report. Oh, he was right, it doesn't work. And it is a great error message. For more information, navigate to the report server. Okay. Well, just for the heck of it, for whatever reason, on my database server I had Profiler running. And we can see here we had an audit login failed event for NT Authority anonymous login. Here's the dreaded double hop issue. The SharePoint server could not impersonate back to the database. Okay? We have multiple services talking to each other. We couldn't go that next step. So you call the IT department, and the IT department says, oh, I know what happened. They forgot to enable Kerberos on the site when they stood it up. It happens all the time. Just go into central administration and fix it. Have I mentioned that for some odd reason your IT department has made you a domain admin? So, you go in and you have central admin running. So you come to application management and say, oh, I'm going to manage my web applications. All right. Base web app, that must be what it's running as. Authentication providers. And then you see this screen. And you look at this screen for a couple minutes because it really, you know, what am I supposed to do with this screen? That's what I did the first time I saw it. What? Well, it ends up that default is a hyperlink. Ah. I come down here and they were right. They forgot to set it to Kerberos. Great. All right. What's this? Let me read this. You have chosen to use Kerberos with integrated Windows authentication. Manual configuration steps by a domain administrator, that's me, will be required if the application pool security account is not network service. Again, I trust my IT department. They made a mistake with the Kerberos button, but I'm sure they did all these other required configuration steps. I'm sure they did. So I'm going to click OK and save this. Now, I find your time very valuable, so I am not going to go back and keep running this report after every single step. Because I will tell you, this is not configured properly. What you just saw was step one in the seven steps. Enable Kerberos. Okay? So we're just going to walk through all of the different things that we need to do to make this work. Now, I will tell you, this is how to make it work in this particular environment that I have here. Every environment is going to be different. That's the fun of working with SharePoint. You can do so much with it that it's always going to be different. But if you follow the same steps that we follow here, you'll be able to get your particular environment working. Okay? So the first thing, as we just did, is to enable Kerberos for the particular web application. That allows us to work in the Kerberos environment. The next thing we need to do is start talking about SPNs. Who wants to tell me what SPN stands for? Service principal name. Why is that confusing? Because you don't set it on a service in the, you know, you think about a service as something like SQL Server that's running on your machine, or you don't set it in that context. SPNs get set on the user account that runs the service. And they get tied to a service through the principal name. So you can have a single user account that runs multiple services. Now, if you want to be able to do delegation through to specific services that that account is running, you need to register multiple SPNs for the same account. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go in and register our SPNs. So I have a little script here. This is the set SPN command. So it has multiple parts. I'm going to start this one running while I talk about the different parts. So set SPN is the command. The first switch is dash S. Who still uses dash A? Okay. The difference between dash A and dash S is that dash A will create the SPN regardless of if there are duplicates or not. Duplicate SPNs can cause problems. Using the dash S, it will search Active Directory to see if that SPN already exists. If the SPN already exists, it will not create the one you are trying to make. It will give you an error. I recommend using dash S just because, like I said, duplicate SPNs cause problems. The next part of it is the service and the machine name. So here we have HTTP as the service, and then BI-WFE as the machine name. Then we have the user account that we're tying this all to. So what we're saying here is the server's WAC SP base web app account is running an HTTP service on this machine. That's basically how we can read this. There are several well-known SPNs. HTTP is one of them. MS SQL SVC is another one for SQL Server. But to be honest with you, an SPN can be anything you want it to be. If you have a service that you need to delegate to that does not have a well-formed SPN, you can create what we call, or what I call, a dummy SPN. It means nothing to anything other than your service and allows you to do delegation. We'll get to that in a little bit. How many people have had random authentication Kerberos issues in your SharePoint environments. Can't quite track it down, don't know what the real problem is, and it seems really random. Check something. Check to see if you have, in this case, both the server name and the fully qualified server name registered. That can cause weird problems. Intermittent problems that aren't really intermittent, but if a certain path through the code is accessing something via a fully qualified name, and you only have the non-qualified name registered as an SPN, it's going to have delegation problems. Check that. That's something to check. Another thing to check, especially in a SharePoint environment, is you want SPNs created for all of your alternate access mappings. Any URL they can come to get to that SharePoint site, you need to make sure you have an SPN for it. Also, look in DNS. Do you have DNSA records for a server? Create an SPN for that as well. Because people can come in with a real server name, they can come in with the DNS name, they can come in with the alternate access mapping. You need, if for delegation to work properly for you, you're going to need all of those SPNs mapped. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create the fully qualified. And at the same time, while that's running, I'm going to create the SQL Server SPNs. Now, you'll notice here for SQL Server, I specify a port. Since SQL Server, you can have multiple instances on the same machine, and they can be listening on different ports, specify the port when you register your SQL Server SPN. And also register it as non-qualified and fully qualified. That's a good practice to get into. One second, I'll be right with you. Figured I'd get that running. What's your question? You can still create an instance name as well, and yes, that is not a bad idea. The question was, I've created SPNs on instance names. That's not a bad idea as well. And if you're using dynamic ports, then you have to do it that way. If you're using static ports, which is something that I like to do personally when I build servers, then yes, identify the port. Speaking of ports, and back to the HTTP service. The HTTP service is going to work for you for port 80 and port 443. You do not need to register an HTTPS SPN. It doesn't exist as a well-known type. Use HTTP. It's the protocol itself. But if you're using a non-standard port, such as 81, 88, so on and so forth, you need to register an HTTP SPN with the port designated. Okay? You do need to register it with the, are you asking with the fully qualified, not with the port? I don't generally register a standard one with a non-standard port, just because then if something is listening on port 80 on that server name, you're going to get an SPN conflict with a different service account. So I don't register both the non-standard port and the standard port unless I'm using the standard port as well. Okay. So now I've got SPNs created for both SQL Server and for my web account. Great. Now I'm going to go in and actually set up delegation. So I come into Active Directory Users and Computers, and I want to delegate from my web application to my reporting services application. So I want my web application to be able to delegate to reporting services so that reporting services can connect to my database. That's my delegation path. Okay? And I want to use what's called constrained delegation. There's two types of delegation. There's constrained and unconstrained. Unconstrained delegation is basically saying delegate to any service that's available. Sounds a little bit less secure, doesn't it? Constrained delegation allows you to say delegate specifically to this service. So if we have multiple services running, or we have one user account running multiple services, and you register those different SPNs, you can tell it just delegate to this specific SPN. Okay? So I'm going to say delegation to specified services, so we're going constrained. I'm going to allow any protocol, so it can fall back to NTLM. I'm going to allow that. And I'm going to look for the account running reporting services. I can't find that account. I know this is a valid account in my system. Why can't I find it here? It's because I didn't create an SPN for the report server. This dialog will only bring up user accounts that have SPNs tied to them. Common pitfall. Be very careful of this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come out of this, and this is where I create a dummy SPN. I happen to have it already written. So I'm calling my SPN RSSVC because we don't have a well-known SPN for reporting services. I just need an SPN on that account so I can delegate to it. Now, this is one of the differences with SQL Server 2012. In SQL Server 2008 R2 and before, reporting services ran as its own service and did all of its communications over HTTP or HTTPS. So when you were registering an SPN for reporting services, you actually registered an HTTP SPN for it in the past. Reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode in 2012 is now a full shared service in SharePoint. Just like Excel services, just like search, we are integrated into the product now. So we aren't communicating over HTTP between SharePoint reporting services. So we just need to create an SPN that we can delegate to. Make one up, make up whatever you want it to be. It's just text at that point. Doesn't really matter. So, and as I mentioned, if you're using 2008 R2, you still do need to do the, or even with SQL Server 2012, with reporting services not running in SharePoint mode, it still communicates over HTTP. It's only in SharePoint mode that we are integrated. So now that I've got this, I can come in, and I should be able to find that account. There we go. Another common pitfall. Just clicking OK right now. I do this almost every time I touch a server. The first time I'm going in to set up delegation for the day, I just click OK on this screen. It does nothing. You have to come up here and select the actual service. You might be asking why. Well, the reason is that account, the SP_RS account, could have multiple services registered to it, multiple SPNs. you want to be able to constrain the delegation to a specific SPN. You need to select it from the list, or multiple from the list if you'd like. Okay? Great. We've got our web server delegating to reporting services. Now, I need to delegate from reporting services back to my database server. Come in here. It's BIDB1 engine. And there's our MSSQL SVC. All right. Now, you may be asking, what happened? I thought I registered two SPNs for this service, but I'm only seeing one here. Well, if you click on the expanded checkbox, it will show both of them. Collapses to save space on the screen. So I click OK. Great. I turned on Kerberos. I created SPNs. I enabled constrained delegation. One other thing, once you go to constrained delegation, you can't further down the line go non-constrained. It has to stay constrained. You can go from non-constrained to constrained as you go down the line, but once you've constrained, you have to stay constrained delegation. The problem here is this still isn't going to work. I guarantee in this environment this is not going to work. Does anyone know why? Does anyone have an idea, a guess as to why? Who's heard of claims? Claims. Claims is why this is not going to work. Internally, SharePoint does its communications between services via claims. SQL Server does not understand claims. We don't. We just don't know what claims are at this point in time. So, and there's other things that don't understand claims. It's not just SQL Server. A lot of things don't understand claims. It's a completely different authentication methodology that we aren't going to go into here. That's more for a deep security discussion. But you need to know that internally, SharePoint communicates in claims. So when we want to leave the SharePoint environment, we need to translate from claims back to Kerberos. There's a service that has been built and running in SharePoint. It's called the Claims to Windows Token Service. That's what does this work. It converts into Kerberos so that we can go to Kerberos-enabled sources or destinations, pardon me, that do not understand claims. By default, when you set up SharePoint, the Claims to Windows Token Service is running as a local machine account. You can change that. You can run it as a domain account if you'd like. In my environment, I left it as the local machine account. That local machine account in my environment needs to be able to delegate out for my environment to work. So what I have to do is come in and tell the machine I want it to delegate to my SQL Server. And just because I like clicking on buttons. Okay. I have my, yes. When you're running Claims to Windows Token Service as a domain account, rather than going to the machine account to delegate, you go to the domain account that the service is running under to delegate. Yes. In my world, for what I'm trying to do, I need to delegate to the SQL Server. It's going to vary in your, I wish I didn't have to say this, but every environment is going to be different. You need to look at each environment individually. Ways to do that, if you're having authentication issues, if you look in Event Viewer, and I'll show you Event Viewer here, if you look in security, it's going to be able to tell you for each security request the user ID, and if you scroll down further, actually it's in this request here, it's going to tell us the authentication type, and negotiate / Kerberos, or is it NTLM? So you can trace on your different machines, looking at the events that are coming through, you can use that to determine where things are breaking down. So if I make a request, if I run this report, and I see that it's the security request is going to reporting services and coming through as the authenticated user, but then going to SQL Server, and I see anonymous come through, I know that's where my breakdown is. So it's really a matter of looking at your environment and really standing up a test and running through and finding the problems. You can use tools like Curbtray. I've heard people talk about using Fiddler to trace this kind of thing. I personally like just looking at Event Viewer. You can get a lot of information from Event Viewer of how to step through. And as we started with here, I started with SQL Server Profiler to see what login was coming into my SQL Server. By default, SQL Server is going to log failed login attempts, so you could have also checked the SQL, you would have seen it in your SQL Server logs as well. Well, to leave the reporting services application in SharePoint is running as, in my case, it's running as its own application pool. So I have to get those two talking as well. When I created the reporting services application, I could have chosen to have it running in the same app pool as my web app. I would have had a little bit less to configure. The beautiful thing about SharePoint is that it's so configurable and you can do so much with it. That's also a curse when it comes to making sure things are locked down. My suggestion in general is try to delegate the least that you can. Do as little delegation as possible, because that's a very powerful tool. The ability to delegate is extremely powerful. And if that's misused, if one of your web servers gets hacked and it's something that you're delegating to, that can be a problem, especially if someone like your CIO or CEO is browsing a report and they hit a web server that's been compromised, and now the attacker has their identity, basically, and can do anything that they want with that. Whenever I'm dealing with security, I practice a minimalistic approach. I want to do as little as I have to get it working. Reduce that surface area as much as you can. So on my servers here, these are the steps that I needed to do to make this work. In your environments, it's going to be different, but these seven steps that we go through are really the common things that thread through all of it. So is this going to just work now? The answer is probably not. The reason being, I need to cycle my app pool so that it picks up the new tokens. And there is a cache in Kerberos. So I have to wait for that cache to clear, or I can flush the cache manually. In my case, what I'm going to do is the good old-fashioned restart the server. So, did I restart the right server? Yes, I did. That would be embarrassing. So while that is rebooting and coming back up, we're going to go back into the slides and finish walking through these. Now, I have here a list of the seven steps. I gave this session 2 weeks ago at Tech Ed in Orlando, Florida. And one of the things I forgot to mention while I was talking through this is the slide deck has an appendix where we go into a little more detail on each of these. Okay? One of my evals actually said, I wish there had been more detail for these. I read that and said, my gosh, there is, and I forgot to mention it. So at the end of the slide deck, if you download it from the TechEd website or Channel 9 or wherever we're putting them, the one from North America is on Channel 9 right now, and you can go download it. You can download the video from it. These seven steps, there's detail slides for each of them in the appendix. Okay. So, tying back to the demo that we just did, the first thing we did, we enabled Kerberos. Very easy to do. Only do it for the web applications that you're going to use Kerberos with. Don't just do it globally. Okay? If your application is fine using NTLM, let it be. Don't switch it to Kerberos. If NTLM is good enough, fine. People, when I give this session other times, people will ask me, well, I use stored report credentials, and I'm not requiring my logged-in user to be authenticated all the way back to the database. Do I need to do this? If the stored credentials work without setting this up, you're fine. If that is good enough for your corporate security policies, you're fine. Always defer to what your security policies are. If you have to have the tighter security, you have no choice. You have to do it. Second one, enable claims to Windows token service. This should be running on every farm application server in your SharePoint environment. If it's not running, you're probably having other problems that are in no way related to Kerberos. So just make sure that that is running. Excuse me. The app pool that's running the primary web application, create your HTTP SPN for that. Dummy SPNs. This is like reporting services. Excel Services needs these as well. I think some of Performance Point needs these. Go ahead and create them. If you are running analysis services, there is a well-known analysis services SPN, msolapsvc.3. Use that one. But this, again, is only if you're running analysis services. Configure your constrained delegation. That was the next step that we did. We constrained our delegation all the way through. And then because Claims to Windows Token Service was running as the machine account still, we configured constrained delegation for the machine back to the database server. So while this is running, I'm going to refresh a page over here so that I can get this up and running. So now let's talk a little more real world here. What we've been doing is a very good starter environment. You have a single SharePoint server, and you have a single database server. How many of us is that our real world environment? Not a lot. A couple, but not a lot. So let's talk about some of the things you're going to run into in the real world. You're going to have multiple web front ends, sometimes behind a load balancer, sometimes not. You're going to have multiple application servers and multiple service application accounts. And you're going to do some different things with SQL Server as well. So let's talk about the multiple web front ends first. It comes down to setting SPNs for every single URL. We talked about this a little earlier. The load balance, if you're behind a load balancer, you want to have an SPN for the load balancer URL. You want to have an SPN for everything in your alternate access mapping list for that site collection, pardon me. And then if you're allowing access to the different web front ends, you want to have an SPN set up for each of those web front ends. I said CNAME here. I really meant to be DNSA records. Look for DNS records as well. You should have, in a farm where you're doing a lot of alternate access mapping and a lot of different web front ends, you are going to have a lot of SPNs. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to try and hide that from you. You will have a lot of SPNs. And that is a lot to manage. Someone the last time I gave this session asked me, well, how do you manage all of that? How do you figure out, how do you keep track of all of it? The way I would do it, I would have an Excel spreadsheet, honestly, tracking all of that, because it is a nightmare to maintain. It is a lot of work. I'm not going to hide that from you. It's a lot of work. So, multiple app servers. Constrain delegation on your service accounts for the apps that you're running that need to talk to other applications. If Excel Services doesn't ever need to go out and get data from an external data source, if it's just running as itself, you probably don't need to go any further than that. But if you're trying to refresh workbooks automatically with data from a back-end data source, you're probably going to need to pass some creds around. Make sure that Claims to Windows Token Service is running on every server. One thing that you might run into as well is you might have an administrator that sets up the same service account on multiple servers running as different user accounts. That's something that you need to watch out for as well. Okay? Just make sure that you have all of your bases covered, all your user accounts, all of your SPNs. SQL Server. If you are running a clustered SQL Server as your back end, you want the SPN set to the virtual network name. Because you don't connect to the individual nodes of a cluster, you connect to the network name that's presented for the cluster. You might have node A and node B, but it's called SQL Cluster 1. In that case, you want to delegate to SQL Cluster 1 because you never connect to it as the individual node. If you are running a non-default instance of analysis services, you need to be running the browser service. And there's a special way that you actually get to those analysis services. You need an SPN on the browser service as well. And then you need to delegate to the browser service to find out which analysis services to connect to and then go back. It's a round trip, but you need to use the MS OLAP Disco.3 SPN. I'm going to go back. I'm going to switch in before we finish up here. I have running here that site. I rebooted the machine. Let's see if this actually works. I'm coming to reports. This time I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to come into my credential file and I'm going to test my connection. It worked. All right. That's a good sign. Let's try to run that report for my boss. There it is. From the time I started telling the story of the demo to right now has been about 50 minutes. We still got this report out in time for our boss. So hopefully he comes through, he or she comes through with that bonus, the raise, and the holiday. I'm not counting on it, but one thing that I want to point out here And this ties back to Report Builder. Remember how I disconnected from my SharePoint site when I was building the report? That's a very distinct behavior change for Report Builder. If you are disconnected when building the report in Report Builder, my credentials, as me, I'm logged into the machine and running Report Builder. It uses my credentials to connect directly to the database that I'm trying to connect to. Single hop. If, however, I'm connected to a SharePoint site, it's going to take my credentials and run them through SharePoint to get back to the database server. So if I would have, remember that one test connection button that I neglected to click on? If I would have clicked that, I would have found this problem before I deployed the report, because it would not have allowed me to connect to the back-end data source because SharePoint was not configured properly. But because I was running in disconnected mode, it didn't go through SharePoint. It connected to the database directly from my machine, and that worked just fine. So if you have report developers that work in disconnected mode and everything works, tell them to connect before they try to deploy, because that connection might save a lot of headache if your SharePoint farm is not configured properly. I'm going to switch back here. I will take questions. We've got still time. I ran a little quick here. I apologize. There's some related content. Most of these sessions are actually being presented here this week and being recorded. They were all presented at the Tech Ed 2 weeks ago, so they are recorded and available for viewing on channel9.msdn.com right now. You can download it, you can stream it, you can get the PowerPoint decks from there. If you want to just come talk to me individually, I can hang around a little after the session. I can go to lunch in the lunchroom if you want to talk over lunch. The demo was all about lunch after all. I do plan to spend a lot of time tomorrow and Friday in the Microsoft SQL Server area of the TLC booth down in the Expo Hall. We have some track resources. We do have hands-on labs going on downstairs. We have people that regularly tweet on @SQL Server if you're into Twitter. I also want to put in a big push for the evals. Evaluations at these kinds of events are how we decide who gets to speak at the next event and who is good speakers, who aren't good speakers. My one request of you: whatever scores you decide to give me, I'm not trying to buy scores here. I don't like it when people do that. What I am trying to buy here are comments. If you really liked something, please leave me a comment and tell me why. If you didn't like something, please leave me a comment and tell me why. There's nothing more frustrating as a presenter to get low scores with no comment, because how can I improve? How can I do this better for you the next time? We're halfway through the week. I hope you enjoy the rest of the event. Like I said, we still have a couple minutes. If you have questions, I'll take them now. Otherwise, enjoy Tech Ed. We do have a question. Great, questions. Yes. So you're connecting to your database server through an alias. Yeah, you're going to have to register that alias, because that's how it's gonna look it up. I would say yes. I haven't tried that personally. I normally just use virtual network names through cluster services. But yeah, I believe you are going to have to register that alias. I would say do it in a, well, if it's the only way you're connecting, because what you have to remember here is it's not necessarily how SharePoint is connecting to your database. It's how, in my case, it's how your report definitions are connecting to your database. So how, you know, we aren't necessarily talking about the SharePoint databases here that are the problem. The problem in our scenario was the databases that are sourcing the data for the reports. So it's not necessarily that SharePoint needs to connect. SharePoint is doing its own thing. It's grabbing its data. It's not trying to impersonate or delegate. The issue we were having in this demo was that the report is trying to get at a different data source. It's not going after the SharePoint databases. It's going after an analysis services cube or a relational data warehouse on a different server. And that's where, those are the ones you really need to worry about. Yeah, if you use the alias names, I would look at the SPNs on the alias names. Well, thank you. I will be around still. If you want to ask more questions, come on up. Not a problem. Thank you very much for being here, and enjoy the rest of the event.